Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and we are very fortunate to have a full house in the studio today. I'd like to have you help me welcome back high-performance strategist and the creator of the High Performance Triad with a book series out by the same name. Please welcome back Dr. Karen Jacobson.
Good afternoon, Karen.
Hello,
thank you for having
friend.
Us. It's great to be here again, and I've brought a crew with me today.
Yes, you did. And last time you're here, we were talking more so about your speaking career and the help that National Speakers Association had in just crafting those skills and the role that you play with that organization. That was a lot of fun as well.
It was a great time, and what I love in what I do is the different dimensions that I can take with it, and the fact that there is an association that is so supportive of speakers in that are professional and really helps not only with the camaraderie, but also with the opportunity to gain and learn.
Yeah. If you haven't heard it yet, listeners, that's a great, it's a great segment, especially if you're looking at wanting to develop leadership skills specifically related to speaking and communication.
And we're also doing a number of community events. As a matter of fact, we mentioned last time that we were doing an event for business owners on May 11th.
Right.
Well, we actually didn't mention the date, but it is on May 11th. So I'm sure we'll put that in the show notes for the public. It's for business owners who want to go out and speak. That will give them an opportunity to come to an event, which is full-day training by some of our professional members on how to move from boring to basically business savvy, so that you can go out and advance your own business through your own speaking.
Excellent. And we will have to go back and add that, and we'll remember to put it up on social too. So you did bring a crew with you today, which is always our favorite way to have conversations with business leaders in the community. So help me welcome, if you will, please, founder and principal with Bakerson, Bruce Willett. Welcome.
Thank you. Should we be concerned about the on-air button?
No, we should not be concerned. It's a manual on-air button. Boy, you are a very observant fella. I've never forgotten to turn that on. So we are streaming, guaranteed.
I feel honored.
You're like, I wonder if she knows that we're not on air. And yes, we are. So thank you. And I love that. I love being called out from the guests, and I'm glad we are streaming, and I'll remember to shut it off this time. And Bruce, you and I have an occasion to connect, like Karen and I have, through alliances. You and I both have said that we've been so busy that we haven't found our way back there in a while, but I do remember when I saw your photo come up checking out your information, that was our first opportunity to connect.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So also in the studio with us is Phil Singleton, financial rep with John Driscoll and Company. Welcome, Phil.
Welcome, Karen.
So happy. Y'all look so nice.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I'm very happy to have you here. How long have you been in the Valley, Phil?
Since 1982.
Yeah, a while.
So I've been here a little while.
Good. And always in the financial industry?
No, I came in as a pharmaceutical sales rep for Burroughs Wellcome Company, which became Glaxo Wellcome Company, which is now GlaxoSmithKline. And as of 2 weeks ago, it will merge with Novartis Pharmaceutical Company.
And how long have you been in the financial industry?
17 years.
But still keeping an eye on what everybody else is doing in pharmaceutical.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, we'll have more of an occasion to speak with both of you. But before we do that, I also want to welcome to the studio, Lisa Chopp, realtor with Berkshire Hathaway. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, so thrilled. Now, before we get into what each of you do to help your clients and customers, Karen, draw the thread, weave this tapestry for us on why these particular business leaders are here with us today.
One of the reasons why I picked these specific people is because I feel that not only they're people who strive and create new and really great businesses in the community, but they care about the community. They care about people. They care to make a difference. And they're all high performers. And that really, as high performers, signifies what somebody can do and what a difference you can make when you just set your mind to make a change.
I love it. Wow, we've got a powerhouse here. Can you define for us high performance? What is a high performing individual?
A high-performing individual is somebody, at least the way I define it personally, is somebody who is going to look to play at the top of their game in all areas of their life while maintaining what I call dynamic equilibrium. So you can have somebody that in the past we might have called a type A that was all about business and other areas in their life have suffered. Sure. And then you've also had people that in all areas of their life may have not really maximized their potential. And the truth is that your highest potential is not about what somebody else is doing. It's about what you're doing. So if you take as an example, you want to make a fresh glass of orange juice and you stand there, you cut the oranges and you hand squeeze, you're going to get a good amount of juice out. However, you won't get the same amount of juice out as if you have an actual juicer, something that's on the outside that has the ability to pull all that good stuff out from you. And that's basically what I do with people. I don't go in and coach and tell them what to do. I look at somebody and what they are looking to achieve and find out what the barriers are that are holding them back, whether it's fears, whether it's thoughts, beliefs, or just fogginess, lack of clarity. And I help them find their path, not my path, not your path, their path to their own success.
Is it moving from good to great? Or is that too simple to say? Because it obviously a high performer is somebody who is already high functioning in at least one area of their life, correct? Based on your definition.
Absolutely.
And you're helping to hone in that skill set to really raise the vibration in all that they do. And again, based on their level of and desire of success and help draw them out.
Correct.
So is it good to great? Is that fair to say that?
I love that analogy. Because good to great really expresses the fact it is that simple. It is about how do I move from level one to level two in different areas of my life. When I'm at level two, now that's my new level one. And then I'll keep on moving from here because that's how I can maximize my own potential. And my potential, your potential, their potential is really what comes from their own beliefs. Because if I believe I can't, I won't. Now, there are certain things. You know, if I say that, well, I decide I want to be, you know, 5'11" and I'm 5'4", you know, stilts might help, but there are certain limitations that can occur. But if there's something that's within my skills, within my talent, within my ability to reach, but it's still out there, I help you get there.
Mm-hmm. So as Karen and I are chatting a little bit about how she shows up in the world, what's showing up for each of you? I would love to hear how you interact with Karen and some of the things that you've learned.
I can relate to what Karen said about that she doesn't tell me what to do. She, based on conversation, she will get out of me what fits me, what I need to improve. So, and I can relate to when she said, we can get to a place, but that's again, step one. After I adapt and settle with new behavior, next thing will be to add more.
Instead of staying, plateauing.
Right.
And putting too much on to where you get overwhelmed.
Right. You're Love always that. In step one.
Yeah. I like that. Always learning and reaching and growing.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about your real estate practice. Tell us the kinds of people that you work with and what you love so much about your industry.
I love my job. I basically work by referral. So I based my business based on happy clients that I already worked with. And I cover the whole Maricopa County. I sold in Queen Creek, Goodyear, Tempe, Mesa.
Everywhere.
So it's the client that I have, whatever they need, I will go and
help them with it. Is it strictly residential? Do you do commercial as well?
I did commercial, but I market myself strictly residential.
And referral based.
Yes.
How nice is that? So there must be some magic. You must be high performing, at least in that area of your life, to have them say, she's our gal. Lisa is who needs to take care of you.
I strive every day.
Yeah. And how long have you been in the industry?
12 years.
12 years. And always here?
Well, in the industry more. In real estate, I did mortgages before. So,
oh, so good. You know both sides of the...
I'm about 20 years in the industry.
Wow. Yeah. And always here in Arizona?
Yes.
Fantastic. Good. How about either of you? Thoughts around this idea about high performance?
Well, actually, the last two meetings have been a little bit spooky with Karen, because first of all, there's things that we're talking about. I see, you know, I've already started doing some of these things. And what I've realized is that everything we need is already in
yes.
our brain. The experiences are there. The solutions are there. But they're kind of, like she said, lack of clarity. They're jumbled. And what she does is brings these into alignment for me and realize that I'm already on this, on the right path. And like our last meeting, we had set up an agenda previous to our meeting. And as soon as she sat down, she says, tell me what you're working on. Tell me what you're struggling with and what you have challenges with or something along those lines. And an hour later, we never got to our agenda. So she made it very real, very current. And I had a huge breakthrough and clarity on what we should do and how we should function in our business beyond Arizona. So from that standpoint, some of it's spooky because she'll say things I'm already doing. And then she'll also know what I'm going to say.
So I know this about her.
I showed her the door, but she stuck around for another 20 minutes.
When you hit that fear place, do you want to shove her out the door? I know with my coaches in the past, I'm like, oh, I could punch you right now, but thank you in the same breath. Is it that combination?
Well, it's not so much fear. It's just a little bit spooky. I think that's the best term.
If I can interject on the conversation with Bruce, one of the things about Bruce that I so admire and why I love working with him so much is because he is fearless. And he is the embodiment of high performance. Huge dreams, huge reach, huge potential, and he will just chop and just keep on moving towards it. And because of the fact that he has so many different ideas, they're like way out in the stratosphere. And sometimes it's about bringing him down and helping him create the clarity because of that's what he talks about, the fogginess. There's no fear in what he's doing. It's just about making sure that in order to get from A to D, he'll go through B and C first, especially for the benefit of his company.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm curious about Bakerson. What is it that you guys do? And I heard you mention that you're looking beyond Arizona borders.
Yeah. What I like to share is I tell people we're in the togetherment business. And it's a fun phrase that we made up. And togetherment is a play on apartments. And to me, apartments are divisive. So we weren't togetherment. We create communities out of apartments and unity out of chaos. We go into some of the highest crime, highest vacancy areas of a city, Phoenix and Tucson, and turn those properties around. And they're all Class C workforce neighborhoods. And these individuals are self-payers of rent. They're not on, there might be a small percentage that are on government programs, but vast majority of them pay. And we want to work with those people that are what we call permanent residents, people that will never own a home, but would like to live in one. And some of the things that people want and they're not getting from other operators, from most other operators that own apartment buildings, is the community that's safe. And to me, that's highly important because in the end, our residents are our customers. That's where we make our money. That's where we make our living. And it seems to be forgotten in the marketplace. And I found very few that have the same passion, but yet we're expecting them to pay. There's no free rent.
I came across a blog, and I don't know if you're still blogging or not, but I was preparing for our time together, wanting to get to know you each a little bit. First of all, you're a fantastic writer.
Well, thank you.
And I was blown away with just the way that you were telling a story about one of the complexes. It appeared that you had just taken over, or you were in the preparation of making sure, you know, you were moving in as the new owner. I don't know how it all goes, but I really got a glimpse through your eyes of the devastation, the chaos, the frustration that not that you were witnessing, but also that these tenants and these people were experiencing. It felt like no one cared about them, in addition to them not even caring for themselves. So you go in then, you and your team clean up these properties and find ways that it is a livable, fantastic environment for the limb, and they continue to pay rent. Am I describing that correctly?
Yes. The properties, we bring down pretty low on occupancy. Like there's one, a 74 unit in Tucson. We brought it down to 17 occupied units. And as of this morning, I believe we're hitting the 40 mark. So we're over 50% full, and we should be 80% full by the end of the month, which is fantastic because that's usually unheard of. But we have a great team down there, a property management company that we've hired. So yeah, going in there and making a difference and creating a home. It's really what it's about. And if you remember that you focus on them, everything else seems to fall into place along the way.
Who else is doing that though? Because usually when it's a dilapidated or rundown complex, people are shying away from it, right? Investors as well as tenants, and everybody's ignoring it. It becomes a sore spot in our community. I'm blown away with this focus that you have and the kind of real estate property that you're drawn to help make a difference in our community.
And I find that actually kind of sad that it is. People are blown away. Why do we need to be blown away by doing what I think is right? And one of the realizations I had was actually yesterday. I was up at Out of Africa, and they were teaching how to be, and it's kind of way outside of my area, but be one with the world, if you will. And I'm not into that so much, but they just said that if you show fear, the animals will attack. And if you show dominance, they could also attack, that you need to be neutral and become. So I was thinking about when I walk in these complexes, I'm not fearful, but I'm also not dominant. I'm not there with a power of force or an arrogance. These people are in a tough spot. And even the criminals, I don't judge them on the spot. We just deal with them. I've walked into buildings that have been occupied, had a pair of eyeballs looking right at me. And people that were with me were kind of like, one fella said that his adrenaline was still pumping minutes later. And I said, I was already moving on to the next thing. I just asked the guy calmly to leave. So when she says fearless, I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but I just found out that if you go in rather neutral and not a dominance and just be yourself. And that's really what it's about. And it's really fun. We have a great team of people at the office here and in all of our subs and everybody else. They all share the same vision and direction. So we got some big things planned for the coming years.
It sure sounds like it. We'll come back to hear more. Go ahead.
But I say, yeah, we've been in business, Bakerson, since 2002.
Oh, wow.
And been in multifamily since 2014.
Fantastic. And you mentioned Tucson. So you're all across the state of Arizona.
Yeah, we were in Phoenix and the price point's just too slim and it's a whole other topic, but we ended up expanding or going down to Tucson a couple of years ago and we've really done well down there. And now we're looking at what next markets will approach with the same Bakerson vision.
And again, outside of Arizona borders, possibly.
Yeah, Sun States, Texas, New Mexico, Utah.
Great. Business Colorado. Radio X might be right there with you. That's my goal too, long-term, probably 5-year plan. Let me conquer Metro Phoenix. And then I'm hoping to build out studios throughout the Southwest.
Let's do it.
Excellent. Yes. All right. Hand in hand. And Phil Singleton with John Driscoll and Company. Before you tell us, well, let's start there. Tell us a little bit about your role with your company and how you help individuals with their financial planning.
Well, I help business owners and individuals plan for a financial security, giving them concepts that they need to do in order for them to move forward. What's interesting about the United States is that 90% of the wealth is held by 10% of the population. And people always wonder why. My job is to teach them to understand what they need to do in order to get to that point. And a lot of times it's cultural. It has nothing to do with using your money the correct way. What people think about money, that's what usually happens to them about money. And if they understand the basic things that they need to do, then they can all be successful. I try to teach them to grasp that concept.
So you're a professor as well. You're a teacher as well as our financial advisor. And I would imagine that makes a big difference that you're educating the people that you work with. And you mentioned business owners as well as individuals. Someone who works with you, do they have to own a business or could it be somebody who works for a larger corporation and draws a salary?
About 60% of my clients are business owners and the other 40% are individuals who just want to learn the concepts. The reason I've chose business owners is because they tend to make decisions sooner and quicker. And so it's just a good niche market for me to work in.
Excellent. That's good to know since it is Business Radio X.
Which goes back to high performance.
I was just going to say that. So go ahead and get a little high five there. Tell us a little bit about Phil as it relates to high performing.
Oh, well, there's, first of all, from the minute that I met Phil, I knew that he was somebody who was striving to make a difference. And he was serious about what he's doing. One of the things that I love about Phil is the fact that he, number one, doesn't take anything for granted. He's filled with gratitude. And he's got a vision that is is so big to make such a difference in this community and to be the man behind it, but not in front of it. And that's what I appreciate about him. So it's not for him, it's not about, hey, look what I'm doing. And I would say that that's with all the people that I've invited here. None of them are saying like, here, look at what I'm doing. Look at how I'm making a difference. No, they're the ones that are pushing everyone forward and moving the crowd, and people will follow because they're true leaders. They all have tremendous people skills. They all have smarts and wisdom and connect with people, and by the same token, are very humble in the way they handle things.
How does that feel? It's got to feel good.
It has to feel good.
Yeah. And tell us about your work with Karen. What around this idea of high performance, clearly you're already a high performer, but what has she brought into your life that perhaps you hadn't grasped previously?
Well, I like to identify people that are passionate about what they do, and then they believe that they're good at it. Not only is she passionate and she believes it, but she is good at what she does. So just being around her is been inspiration to me, just to hang with Karen and trusting my instincts about her. A while back, she wanted to introduce me to someone, and before I was able to understand what she does and how she communicates with people. And she, I kind of put off meeting that particular person. And I, as I met him later on, I thought, man, why didn't I listen to Karen the first time? And we've developed a great business relationship with that other gentleman also. So
it's about trust. Yeah. Tell us a little bit, Karen, about your relationship with Lisa as well then.
We go way back.
I got that.
We go way back. Yes. And you know, a testament to the fact that I was talking about Lisa as a connector and why she's so good at what she does. She and I met at a business event several years ago. I kind of knew the name from the community and asked a couple of questions, but we had an immediate connection. And further, as we were talking, realized that she grew up in Israel. And we found family and connections. I mean, her younger sister actually babysat for my stepsister's daughters.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a lot of history that has created an immediate friendship. But what I appreciate about her is watching her, how she can connect to people. You know, she said everything is by referral because she is a master. She has these amazing personal skills to connect with people. She doesn't even have to really ask for the referrals because she does an outstanding job and people will come to her naturally and bring their friends. And it doesn't mean that it's today or tomorrow. She'll have people that have come back 3-4 years later come and do another either buy or sell and work with her on a regular basis. So it's not somebody who will do a one and done. It's somebody who continues to nurture and create those, develop those connections that are lasting.
I can tell that, like Karen said, we became more personal friends. What I like about it, that she really helped me also with my personal life. She believes that if I'm in a good place in my personal life, that will take my business to the next level, that I will be more powerful. So I like how she helps me with both. And being friends helps. And I have my board of directors, as I call my friends and the people I meet, and they're my walking commercials.
It's nice to have that. Yeah. I picture you with a telescope, a microscope, and a sketch pad, you know, just peeking behind every corner, Karen, and with the folks that you have the privilege to work with, looking to see high level, you know, kind of at the airplane level, then down the helicopter level, as well as getting into the weeds and the trees to guide and, again, help pull their best skill sets out in all aspects of their life.
One of the things that I attribute that to is the way I grew up. And growing up in Israel, I had the opportunity for a period of time to, before my grandfather had passed away, I had the opportunity to learn certain things from him. One of the things that I learned from him was to have an inquisitive mind. Whenever I asked a question, my grandfather would take me over either to a dictionary if it was a word that I didn't know. And mind you, at the time I moved to Israel when I was 6 years old, I did not speak a word of Hebrew. So having to learn a new language, new customs, that's what also really brought my love for communication and languaging. And I would watch him, his rituals. He was a fascinating man. My grandfather was part of the history in Israel. He was the, it was before the Israeli military, but he was a chief of staff of something called the Haganah, which was the Israeli defense before Israel was founded. And yet he was a very down-to-earth, very humble man. I remember he's the one who bought me my first encyclopedia. So from watching him, from watching his habits, those are some of the things that were that left impression on me as a child. So I became inquisitive. And I looked at, like you said, I would look at the big picture and I would look how to filter it down. And I've learned listening skills. Because the truth is, in order to really see what somebody brings to the table, you have to use your listening skills. And it's not just what you're hearing, it's what's behind the words. It's what their body language says about their mindset, about their behavior, and the way they command the room or don't. And those are the things that I've delved into throughout the years and learned and studied so that I can have the tools. First, it was to better understand my patients when I had my chiropractic practice. But when I built the second company, even within the practice, I would have patients come to me and ask me questions and consult with me. So I had to have those skills already. You know, they always say every doctor is going to be a psychologist, going to be a therapist, going to be this, going to be that.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's true because people spend time and you build relationships. So that was one of the things that I paid attention to. Even though for me, it always has been the desire to help people, I've also learned to back away from giving them my intention, what I would do, and really dig in and find out what they need, what they would do, and what would give them their best answer from within.
So there is no, it is like you said earlier, it's not your agenda. It's truly listening to who they are at a really deep level and what their desires are and knowing how to help them manifest that.
Absolutely. So if I give you an example, if I'm working with a company and I'm consulting and I might do some executive training with the head of the company, you know, maybe move them from a management position to a leadership position, help them increase their vision, increase their skill sets, I would still work with the team on the other end because rather than creating a leader who's further away from the business, we want to make sure that the business is able to follow with them directly. So I might come in and do some training and do some team development. So there's two sides. So we're always moving in a cohesive package.
But I think it might have been Lisa who said always taking them a tier higher and a tier higher, which obviously goes back to the high performance conversation. Tell us about your book series. This is the first book of a series on its way, Power Conversations, Creating First Impressions to Lasting Connections.
Yes, I'm actually super excited about this book. What I have done with the high performance, I looked throughout life, what are some of the things that really help an individual play at their best? And if I want to make them really simple and strip them down to basics, which is why I came up with the high performance triad. The high performance triad, very simple, is leadership, language, and lifestyle. So it's how we lead ourselves and how we lead others in life. It's what we say to ourselves and what we say to others. And what do we do with our lifestyle? What are our habits? What are our skill sets? What do we do to help ourselves really have that momentum and energy on a regular basis? And how do we live a life of wellness? So by taking those three, I had a number of ideas, whether I write one book that would cover all three or whether I actually come out with handy books that are going to cover each topic. And the opportunity to create a series came up. So the first book in the series is Power Conversations. And it's basically a how-to guide that gives you 65 tangible action steps from the first impression, from the minute you walk into the room. What type of impression are you going to create? How do you shake someone's hands? What's the value of your smile? All the way to understanding that in communication, we're talking not just about body language and vocal tone and the words that we say, but also it relates to our personality. Because three people can walk into a room and say hello and will be taken differently and have a different reaction from an audience because of who they are and what they're presenting energetically and behavior-wise. So I added those into the book itself and brought it all the way to action steps. How do you handle an interview? How do you negotiate successfully? How do you talk somebody and calm somebody down when they're heightened emotionally and we need conflict resolution? And the beauty in the book is the fact that you don't actually have to read the book like you're reading a novel. You can just open up in the index and just pull something out and take that little tip and learn it.
And I'd imagine if you had done all three of these major areas in one book, you wouldn't have been able to go in that depth. So how fun it is to really have a manual for all three of these areas.
And I love that because I actually have majority of the manuscript done for the other two books already, but I am giving them the opportunity to come out one after the other, because when I go out and speak, depending on what topic I'm speaking, if I go out to an association conference or to a corporate talk, and their main topic is going to be communication, I might bring Power Conversations with me. If I go out there and it's more of a leadership topic, I might bring the leadership book. With some of these events, you know, you go into some of these conferences and they will, I just did an event for the city of Tempe. They basically bought a book for each one of the directors.
Fantastic.
So it's a quick thing that you can use on a regular basis.
Doesn't have to be front cover to back cover. You can go in and find the little nugget that you need.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's how we are most of us anyway, are readers. We just want everything really quick and applicable.
Ask Bruce about that.
Can you speak on that? Ask what?
Ask
well,
what?
He read the book. He's got a copy of the book.
Power Conversations. Was it you don't have to read it front to back is what we're saying. It was really a matter of being able to find what you need and have it at your fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of reference points in there and you can pick them up as you feel. If you need a nudge in something or need some help and maybe a appointment or a meeting that you have coming up, to peruse through it. Absolutely.
Love it. And I love that organizations and companies, obviously City of Tempe you referenced, are seeing the value in it and not only having you come to speak, but also providing it for the participants. It's a very smart move on the City of Tempe's part.
Absolutely. And again, when they can walk away with something like that, as Bruce was saying, that it's a little reference guide, then it sits on your desk and it's a book. I wanted to create something that would be used, not shelf help, but really something really something that you can use and, you know, keep it somewhere that you can just pull it out and get a quick tip and apply it immediate. Because the concept of growth comes from taking action. And if I can simplify the action, make it tangible, make it user-friendly, then there's more of a likelihood that you'll actually take that step. But if I give you a story behind it, and there's 17 pages on each topic and 15 steps on how to apply it, you won't do it.
Yeah. We already have enough of those books.
And the truth is, for high performers, we want that action. We want something that's tangible, that's quick, that can be done so that we can move to the next level. So why not make something that is really appealing to that process and that desire?
I'm curious with the rest of you in your lives, even just the last 6 months to a year, do you feel like you are high performing not only in the workplace, but also other areas of your life? And is that something that you've always been able to blend and balance?
I'd say it varies. there's so many aspects of someone's life that people just don't think about all the time. You have your family life, you have your spiritual life, you have your work life, you have your persona that people want to see of you. And so how do you operate on all 8 cylinders all the time? Most cars now are 4 cylinders. So there you have, there's a problem. But
yeah.
But anyway, I just use that as an analogy. But trying to get a hold of that, at least for me in the past few months, is you have to prioritize what is the most important thing at any given time or any given day, and then stay with that and try to make sure you're committed to that of all the people that are around you, so they all know that you're on the same page. So that some of that is communication. Some of that is just your personal attitude.
Love it.
I can tell that I work with Karen a lot of time on time management. That's something that I don't know if I can use the word struggle, but it's always my business is my priority. And even if I want to go and practice yoga, if something for my business comes, it's my priority. And Karen works with me a lot, time management and priorities. So I think there is always, for me, will be the struggle because my business is my priority.
But how great that you have an advisory board member.
Oh, yeah.
Who says...
And I use that too.
I'm right. That is there to look out for you and say, you know, bring it back. That this can, I'm guessing, this can wait at least for another couple hours while you go inside and you take care of your physical wellness and your spiritual wellness.
Right.
And for me, I know there's always clarity when I try to find the balance. I'm similar right now in a startup mode. The last 10 months with Business Radio X, I'm working 50, 60 hours a week consistently. And I still have a 10-year-old at home and 2 in college and a husband. And I'm like, wow, I have to constantly carve out time because I am high performing in most areas of my life. But to your point, if I can't be all that to everybody all the time. So for me, it's a matter of just finding that blend and giving myself permission to sit back and reflect so that I can power up and go back at it again.
Let me clarify, because I love the example that you guys have and ladies have brought up, especially when Phil talked about it. And the idea of high performance does not mean that you may not have a time where something requires more of your attention. But what it does mean is, that's why I talk about dynamic equilibrium. When people in life talk about work-life balance, what happens when we have two scales that are balanced? There's really no movement. Isn't that true? But dynamic equilibrium really allows that natural flow. It's evident, especially from what you're talking about. As an example, when starting a business, when you really have to spend most of your time and your energy, there will be an understanding on other levels, especially because I know you and you're a great communicator, that you would handle that with Mike and the kids. And when you are spending time with them, you're spending quality time. And the emphasis would be on quality, because we could spend time with people and not have a connection. We could spend time at work and spend hours at work where we're not actually doing the things that are bringing us to the next level. We're distracted and unengaged. But the idea of being able to extra time and effort into something, and then you reach that certain point that you've set for yourself, whether it's a goal or a reference point, or you've gone past the what we would call critical mass, where your business now is in a groove and in a flow, and then you go and you effectively nurture the other area of your life. The most important thing that came up is the idea of not taking time for yourself. And that's a topic that I always talk to my clients about. I talk about the fact that's the leg of lifestyle. If we were getting in the car right now and driving to California, what would be the first thing that we have to look at?
That we have gas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because we cannot drive a distance on an empty tank of gas. If I am here to give from my abundance and my knowledge and my wealth and my heart to other people, if I don't bring back into myself and charge myself, I'm giving from an empty vessel. So the idea of making sure that you do certain things, that you carve time for yourself to fill yourself, to fill your soul, to fill your spirit, to nurture your mind, your body, and your soul, that is what's going to make you full and give you the opportunity to give more to other people. Because then you have more. You're not running on empty.
Yeah, what I'm hearing, what I've heard from is high performance doesn't mean life in balance. You can be highly high performer and still have good balance in your life. You know, I have a family business. There's a brother and a brother-in-law and a son-in-law that work for me. But I've also got a wife of nearly 27 years, 6 children, and grandchild number 6 coming in this summer. So these things are very important to me. So we spend time at work, but when I shut it off at work, it's off. We go to family get-togethers, it's about the family. It's not about work. It's shut off. When I'm at work, if there's teenage drama at home, I don't bring that to work. That stays at home, and I'll deal with it when I need to. So that balance is critically important in life. And just because you're high performer doesn't mean you're neglecting other areas of your life. And that's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah, excellent point. Everybody's nodding.
Well, Bruce is a master at that. And one of the reasons why I say that, because that was one of the points that we talked about earlier on when we started his program. And all I had him do is pay attention to what he is doing at home. And he realized how much more he was doing than what he thought he was doing.
That's got to be a nice revelation. To realize that you really are compartmentalizing and be able to give 100% when you're in front of family as well as with your work life.
And I wouldn't say I'm perfect in that. It's an ongoing journey in making sure. And there's times, I mean, it's evenings, everybody's in bed. I stay up late, high energy, don't sleep enough. I'm always on the go. So I take those times for myself when everything's quiet, the last hour or two in the evening or at night, go on bike rides, do whatever. So it's not a perfection, but it's something that I strive for every day. And you can tell when it's neglecting, when the kids make comments, that certain comments, you just read that. What do they mean? What do they want? What do they really need from me? They just want my time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any other thoughts around high performance? So the triad, leadership, language,
and lifestyle. If we want to strip it down to simple terms, it's leadership, communication, and wellness. Mm-hmm. And especially in the professional speaking world, in the consulting world, we want to give something that is catchy, which is why leadership, language, and lifestyle are the three legs. Alliterations always work.
Right. Absolutely. You've got a fascinating background. You already spoke about spending time and growing up in Israel. You also were in the military, and you're also this elegant dancer. How do those, they seem like such extremes to me. And you pull it off so beautifully. Speak a little bit about your life and how some of those things have brought you where you are today.
Growing up in Israel, I call it a privilege, because serving in the Israeli army, in the Israeli Defense Force, I saw it as a privilege and an opportunity to give back to my country where I grew up. And the interesting thing was that when I had turned 17 and we were supposed to get our orders to show up for our first request, I didn't get mine. And I'm a February baby, so they're like the March kids were going and I wasn't there. And I had sent my mom down to registration. And it showed that we were American citizens. Somehow they missed the numbers from my sister and myself that we had dual citizenship. So I actually made sure that my mom had done the proper paperwork so that I would get called in for serving. My dream at the time was to be a military commander. I wanted to be an officer. And when I was 17, I was diagnosed with systemic lupus, which is basically, it's an autoimmune disease. The body becomes its own enemy. And I was in and out of hospitals, including my service time. I spent 4 years in and out of hospitals. Because of that, I was not allowed to be outside. I was not allowed to do certain things. It changed my physical ability based on the requirements in the army. And yet, I still accomplished my dream of being an officer. Instead of being a commissioned officer and going through the training, I ended up as a non-commissioned officer. I had 80 women under my command in the unit that I was at. And what I see in that, and I say that to show that sometimes the way we see things, the way we want them to happen, don't necessarily happen the way that we might envision them. But if we have enough creativity and we can look outside the box, there's another way to achieve some of our goals. When I got out of the service, I came back. My father was already living back in the U.S., and I came back to the States with the goal to work so I can put myself through college in Israel. And I ended up staying in the States and going to college in the States and became a chiropractor. And as a chiropractor, I really had the opportunity to interact with people on a different level. But I've always had this side in me. I started singing when I was a little kid. You know, when I grew up in Israel, my sister and my cousin and I, we had a little band. We used to perform for the family. Communication and performance were always a passion of mine. And by the same token, as I could see in the military and other things, leadership was also part of it. When I got out of chiropractic school and got involved in the community, people started noticing that. So there was a request, hey, here's a committee, would you be on it? Here's a committee, would you chair it? And the answer was, sure, of course. I actually had to learn how to say no to some of those things, which is a lesson that I give to my high performers when I speak to them. It's about knowing and discerning what are the right things for us to do that will help not only benefit the community, but benefit us in the long term. There's got to be a win-win in the things that we do, or as I would say sometimes, a win-win-win. So everybody gains from that. My passion for performance had brought me, you know, I've always been the one that was first on the dance floor, last to leave at any party, at any celebration, any event. And I served on a mission to Panama in 97. I did some work with a chiropractic mission, which is where I learned how to dance salsa.
That was your first time.
That was my first time. Yeah, that was when, you know, one, just to give a reference, that was when nobody still knew who Shakira was yet. And I had a cassette that my friends had just said, you have to listen to this singer. She's so fabulous. She's from Colombia. And when I came back, I just got into that whole thing, the Latin music, the passion behind Latin music. There was a studio that opened in town several years ago. And I heard the ad on the radio and I'm like, I'm going there. I'm going to learn how to dance Latin ballroom. About 12 years ago was when I actually was really ready for that. And I'll never forget, here's the idea of the readiness. I had my credit card. I walked into the class. I had taken a small intro package 3 years earlier, but I wasn't in a position business-wise and financially. I was really starting out my practice, so I was not in a position to invest. So I had come back when I was ready. And I walk in. They told me at the beginning that the teacher was not going to be available, that I would have to study with somebody else. I said, no, I'll wait. I'll come back when he's ready. Because I just had a connection with him from day one. He calls me and he's like, well, what do you want? I said, look, I want to see how far I can go with this. I'm just ready to jump on. And that's the idea behind high performance. I walked in, took my credit card, dropped it on the table and said, here's my credit card. Tell me what I need to do. And I've been, you know, I got within 5 months, he had me competing on a national or regional level. I ended up competing on a national level. When I did make my career change and let go of the chiropractic office to really build my high performance platform of speaking and consulting, I also ended up at the time moving to what's called gold level. That's the highest level for amateurs. And we've been working on technique, but I've had to scale back as far as competitions. And the beauty in ballroom, it taught me a tremendous amount about executive presence, about expression, about connection and leadership. And I'm also very fortunate that my teacher, who is the studio owner, who is also my dance partner at competitions, is a very wise man. and he teaches in a style of leadership lessons. I'll never forget from one of the first time we were dancing, and I was self-leading. You know, even leaders need to know how to follow. And he stops me and he goes, "Karen, dancing is like life. We're framing a picture. My job is to make you look good. I'm leading you. Let me lead. My job." There was so much. So there's so many lessons that I bring from ballroom and from military and from chiropractic into my training and my speaking that really allows me to bring not only research that I've done, the intellectual study, but actual practical application, which is also one of the reasons why I feel it makes my approach unique.
I love that. I can look back at my life and all the different things that I have just naturally been drawn to, or sometimes were surprised and introduced to, whether it's been hobbies or different activities that I've been involved in. How about the rest of you? When you look at your career, what other aspects of your life can you say, "Ah, this really helps inform me," or tell me a little bit about yourself outside of your career? Are you musicians? What do you love to do? And how do you think that helps you stand up in performance in your career?
I'll just start.
Now, this
here.
Is a humble group, so feel dig in there. Get in there.
Well, I played three sports in high school, football, basketball, and track. And I played football in college on a football scholarship. And when I was in high school, my father was a football coach at University of California, Davis. He became athletic director there. And he also was athletic director at another school in New Mexico. So at our house, we played football or we couldn't eat pretty much. And his biggest thing was we had to run track. And I don't know if you're very familiar with track, but I was a 400 meter runner. In our house, if you ran the 400 meters, you could not quit. So you had to go all out. So that taught us life lessons as to not quitting. And so everyone can tell at our house, you know, how are you going to do the 400? You know, what's going to happen? And I ended up lettering in track in college also. I ran just my senior year and in track in college where the school I went to was in Utah. You had to get first, second, or third place in the Big Sky Conference Championships in order to letter in college. And I ended up doing that. So I got third in a mile relay. So
wow.
That kind of the whole thing about quitting and not quitting and how that was kind of instilled with us our whole life. Sometimes I feel like I don't know when to quit.
Yep.
And sometimes that's a problem, but because I bring a lot of debris along with me when people think, well, you should stop. Oh, I don't know how.
But the awareness of that, to go back to what Bruce had said earlier, just being aware, this is not about perfection, but okay, I see. Now I can pull it back a little bit. But to have that grit and that tenacity in you from your sport experience obviously speaks a lot about the success that you have in your career. How about either Bruce or Lisa? What else has framed your real estate practice? Well, actually, both of your real estate practices.
I still find that I spend probably most of my week time on work. I'm working with Karen on balance and time management. I practice yoga and I try to keep some evenings available for just go to a movie or meet friends. I also involved in leadership groups, some of in my community and some with women groups, support women businesses. But it's a constant work on balance, time management, and when to stop.
Yeah, I guess I don't know where to start. So some of the thoughts I just had was, one of the things I did is I went skydiving. And with that, we have to have trust that the person that you're connected to knows what he's doing, because they have total control of your life at that moment. And I would love to do it again and again. And so that was a fantastic thing. And the other thing I like to do is not aggressively, but just is mountain biking. And I clip in so my feet are connected to the pedals. And people say, "You're crazy when you do that." But to me, there's a level of control. That I know that I've got control. I ski once a year, and my daughter, 15-year-old, now 16, we went skiing this last March in Snowmass, Aspen. Spent 2 days there with a bunch of people, and we skied one day together, and And a friend of ours had their app, and we were doing nearly 50 miles an hour as we're carving this, doing like a giant slalom type ski. But to me, that's an outlet, something I can get out and get away from everything and the busyness of life. But probably the most important thing for me is my family. And I look back, you know, the baker's son, my dad grew up in a bakery. The Willett Bakery is known throughout Minneapolis area. And that's what the business named after dad. And I think about this, where I'm at today. And he said something all the time, that life is all about the relationships we make, that we have. And to treat everybody that way. In fact, even when you go into these different areas, I've taught my son that the best I could, that don't judge anybody by where they're at or who they are. You see a kid in a crime-ridden home, don't judge them. They don't know anything different. They grew up in a very difficult situation, that don't judge them and treat people with respect. So those are some things, I guess, I brought in that life experiences.
I love it. You know, the conversation around high performance is what I anticipated that we talk about, obviously, because of Dr. Karen Jacobson and the work that you do. But we've talked so much more about other things as well. Humility. We haven't talked about weather yet, have we? Or
there's not much to talk about in Arizona. No,
right. We're about to enter into that lack of humidity. We've talked about humility. We've talked about tenacity and grit, finding that blend versus the balance, being able to know when to charge forward, when to pull back. It's been really a fun conversation with each of you. And I feel very blessed that we have community leaders and executive folks here in our community who can continue to lift each other up. So thank you all for being a part of Phoenix Business Radio Day. And while the spotlight was mainly on Karen as a high performance coach, I would welcome each of you to come back again and maybe bring your tribe with you to talk a little bit more specifically about your leadership and your business as well. So again, that invitation is open for each of you. Karen, thank you again for bringing such great folks with us to have this conversation today.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us and thank you for the opportunity. And what I want to stress, that when I talk about high performance, one of the things that I talk about is, who are we surrounding ourselves with?
Absolutely.
Who are the people that we want to spend our time with? These are the people that I have here. These are the people. So, you know, for me to work with any one of them, or to sit even as a friend and have a conversation with any one of them, it elevates me too. And it's really a more of a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, you are. What is that saying? You are.
You are the sum of the five people that you spend your time with.
Yep, absolutely. Well, there we go. We've got five here.
We've got five of us.
I think we're in good hands.
Yes, we are.
Listen, you've been with us on Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.